NPR's News Collective.
At large.
Is that too short?
No.
At large.
From CITR's News Collective. Lola, why don't you try it?
Sick. You're listening to At Large from the News Collective at CITR.
This week, we went to City Hall for a rally in support of two motions tabled by Councillor Jean Swanson. The motions propose to end rent evictions and support the construction of 100% social housing at 58 West Hastings Street.
Let me give you a taste of the new council. Gregory's gone. His decade is over. It's a whole new horizon for Vancouver City Hall.
Here we are in front of City Hall at 12th and Cambie, where the Vancouver Tenants Union, or VTU, and the group Our Homes Can't Wait are on the steps of City Hall. Both groups fight for rent control and other renter and low-income tenant rights in Vancouver.
One is motion B4 for 58 West Hastings to ensure that the city recommit to its promise of 100% welfare and pension rate housing at 58 West Hastings. Two is an end to rent evictions, that's motion B10.
Marina Clausen, I'm a community organizer in the Downtown East Side as well as with the VTU.
I was wondering what you guys are here protesting exactly, specifically what are you trying to get out of today?
So it's not a protest per se, it's a rally for speaker support. So essentially it's similar to like if you had court support that would show up and show solidarity to support the tenants that are coming forward for both motion 4 and motion 10. Motion 4 being to build 100% social housing at welfare and pension rate at 58 West Hastings, and motion 10 to implement vacancy control and ban rent evictions in Vancouver. So there's two motions that are going forward that are really affecting tenants among a bunch of other motions that also will have an impact on tenants, but those are the two ones we're here to represent. So there will be speakers, tenant speakers, that are coming here today to speak in front of City Hall. We've just been told that the city council is going to go into a closed session for the next 3 hours. So we were expecting that people would be able to continue to speak after this event, but it seems like they're going to go on a break, and both those motions have been tabled to hear speakers tomorrow.
I overheard you talking about how, you know, no one should be allowed to enter certain chambers, how you mm-hmm. were confronted by security guards. Would you mind talking mm-hmm. about that experience?
Yeah, it's not my first time coming to City Hall for an action or to speak at City Hall. And I've experienced the security, it's not the security, the like working person that is the security guard that is the problem. The problem is that they get orders from the security head. I'm not sure who's in that leadership role now, but I've had in the past security block participants from coming into this public space, City Hall, because they're concerned about protest inside that space, even though we have a legal right to do that. But they can sometimes close off people from entering the chambers, which I think is unethical.
So are there specific people that they're profiling, like members of the VTU specifically, people who are with you?
They have profiled before, especially Downtown East Side activists. Absolutely. This hasn't happened yet today. Like, we know that we're going into closed session. I don't know that that's caused by the fact that there is going to be a rally here or not. I'm waiting to see why they chose to close the session for the next 3 hours. But I got to say, there's a bunch of tenants that are not happy that it's being delayed even further to hear public speakers.
Marina had to take off, but she left us with questions about her claim, which, if you missed it, was that low-income people prior to protesting or rallying were being prohibited from speaking and sitting in on the council chambers. I approached a security guard and was referred to head of security.
So from my own experience here, the only group that I guess has been cordoned off, unfortunately, have the combination of being part of a disruptive group as well as looking as if they live on the streets or a low-income family. That's never the reason as to why they are cordoned off. This is a public space for everybody to attend. It's only to do with the safety and security of the sanctity of the council chambers, as well as the safety of people in City Hall. So if they have been associated with or have been personally disruptive, regardless of skin, color, race, sexual orientation, origin, religion, anything like that, that is the only particular reason as to why they would be allowed or disallowed access into certain parts or the entirety of the building. Mm-hmm. Obviously people get passionate. I'm never against it. I think I fight for all of this as well. It's just kind of hard being on the other side, but also feeling obviously compassionate and empathetic for what people are fighting for. I'm generally, unfortunately, even though I'm standing here, I want to be out there with them. So I see both sides of it, but I would never physically threaten someone. But I think sometimes when people are so passionate and so angry, but don't have the right way to vocabulary it towards my direction, I think that perceives as anger, or that's their way of kind of just spitting it out versus I'm with them. I appreciate the passion. I think everybody has a voice and a right to say things. Just don't direct them at me, basically.
So, clearly there's a difference of opinion between security and the protesters regarding what's been going on. We were curious to find out what those rallying would think about her statements, so we went back outside. We came out of City Hall to a now much more populated rally. Several activist leaders spoke, but Vincent Tao, a member and leader of the group Our Homes Can't Wait, shared his experience regarding Vancouver City Hall in the last 2 days.
Well, no, there's several ways in which City Council has been able to, make sure that people cannot democratically participate in their government. She's also lying about that. We would roll up and we're with Vandu, folks that live on the streets, we get profiled from far away and we look like poor folks, right? And then they immediately send a bunch of security guards to lock down the space. So that's their lockdown procedure. But even in the regular kind of like workings of City Hall, their bureaucratic web structure does not work at all. They've actually made it harder for us to sign up to even speak. Their website has changed with the new government such that you could only sign up one person to speak per IP address. So that means that in the downtown east side, where typically people don't have devices, they don't have laptops, they can't sign up on their own. They need someone to sign up for them. They don't let you do that anymore. And also the time of day in which they hold these meetings where people should be speaking publicly, it's like 9 to 5, literally, if not further into the day, and they don't tell you what time to come by. So they're trying to make sure that no one comes. And that's how this shit happens. It's like, it's not really a democracy. If they're making it really hard, it's essentially like speaker suppression or like democratic suppression.
So Vincent Tao, if you missed it, made the claim that Taylor Guerin, security operations coordinator, was lying about the profiling of low-income people.
So as a third party, it doesn't really seem as though they're trying to kick you off the steps. Could you elaborate on that?
Before you guys got here, they sent out a few security guards that were telling us to get off the steps.
Oh. So we were talking to a member of the VTU, I think a very important member of the VTU, and she said that you guys were keeping it really low key. When I arrived, there were six people. So did you all kind of go somewhere else and then come right back? Is that what happened, sort of?
I was inside because there's still council stuff happening, but when I came out, there were about 10 people, and they were just setting up the microphone and the speaker and the AV stuff. And then, three security guards came out and told them that we had to vacate because we're blocking a path on these steps. And as many of the people that, were with us today were saying, it's like, we've been protesting on these steps for years now, right? We've never been told to get off these steps. Like, this is public property. This is, like, city property, and we should be able to assemble on it.
A little later on, we attended City Council chambers and sat in for a while to see what was going on as they came back from an in-camera session at 3 p.m. The new council, still breaking itself in, were discussing procedure and adding amendments while discussing the citywide plan to tackle key citywide challenges like housing affordability and densification. While listening, there was one standout moment for us.
And that was when Councillor Christine Boyle of One City called a matter of urgent business to council's attention, a motion to address biased policing in response to the profiling of Desmond Cole, a Black activist and journalist who says he was profiled and carded. There was a certain irony to City Council having this conversation while those outside rallying were also claiming to have experienced profiling in the form of having their right to demonstrate infringed upon by being asked to move from City Hall steps and having members of their organization prevented from entering the chamber. The assertion of these activists is that they have been profiled for appearing low income. This is Samuel Jones, signing out.
Thank you for listening. This story was reported by Samuel Jones and Lyndon Wong. Sound by Lyndon Wong. Editing and mixing by Christina Song and Alamide Alanian. Script by Samuel Jones and Alex DeBoer. Produced by Alex DeBoer. This story featured the song Cherry by Nectarne. Special thanks to the CITR News Collective.